covet your prayers again this evening. I have a little thought that is not a pretty subject, but we'll just put it this way. It's easy to talk about in other folks, but much more difficult to talk about it with ourselves. And that is pride. Pride is one of those ugly things that, well, some say it this way. It's someone said it says pride is the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except the one who has it. In other words, it's hard to see your own faults. It takes the Lord to show you those things. And there's a little story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that no doubt we all remember in our childhood days, and was always kind of a sad story in a sense to me, thinking of the beginnings of this young man. And that was King Saul. You could say he had it made. He was a tall, handsome, good leader. He was quiet to begin with, had a very humble spirit about him, was a good commander in battle, all these things, intelligent, had everything going for him. The Spirit of the Lord was with him as well early on. But it comes to the 1 Samuel. We'll turn and read several scriptures here just to lay a foundation here. In 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, we have several to read. It's kind of an interesting story. But King Saul does something here that a lot of humans tend to do. He tries to pass the buck, tries to cast the blame on someone else. In 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, we'll start with verse 13. If you remember the story here, King Saul was supposed to destroy all the Amalekites and the ones, the king and all their, King Agag and all their animals, everything. Supposed to destroy them, totally annihilate them. Well, it really didn't turn out that way. And so God told Samuel to go talk with King Saul. He said, I got a message for King Saul. Why don't you go meet him and talk with him? So here in the 13th verse, it says, and Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. So Saul, he's starting out on the wrong foot here. He's pretty proud of himself, you could say. He said, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, he deceived himself to begin with, because he had not followed God's command to the full extent, to the extent he thought it was okay. But that's the problem. Then it goes on, and Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? You realize sometimes, and it goes without saying, the little saying I read a little bit earlier, that when folks have pride in their lives and in their hearts, it can't be covered up. It just sticks out like an ugly weed. And there's something about it that with King Saul here, he thought he covered the basis. And he met Samuel here saying, oh, I've done everything. And he's praising the Lord and, you know, just really doing his part. But something was ugly going on back there. There was a noise. There was a commotion that wasn't supposed to be there. And it was the bleating of the sheep and the oxen. So it's hard to cover those things up. Well, but Saul had an answer. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. So he's trying to cast the blame. Put the blame on the people. They, you know, they had this idea, and they did this, and they did that. Well, was not Saul king? Did he not have some authority, some say-so? So when he realized that, oh, I may be getting in trouble here, it's time to pass the buck. Nah, it's someone else's fault. Well, and then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, this is the phrase we want to get here. When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? You remember the story of King Saul, how he started out. He didn't want to be anointed king. In fact, he was hiding among the stuff, is what the scriptures say. There was something about it. He didn't want that responsibility. He would prefer his brother, prefer someone else. Perhaps he realized that he, in himself, he didn't have those leadership qualities. He didn't have all those qualities that he thought in his mind that a king should have. So he was willing to let someone else do it, preferring his brother. And he had a very, if you could say, an humble mindset about himself, realizing he wasn't adequate within himself. So he was hiding amongst the stuff when they found him and anointed him king. Well, when he was little. So in other words, early on, Saul, King Saul didn't have this problem with pride. But bear in mind here, you see, King Saul became very successful as a king, as a leader, as a commander, and the devil saw an opportunity. He saw an opportunity to bring someone down, to bring some, to if you could say, to try to make God a laughingstock amongst all the other nations around. But God had another plan. Yes, God knew, if you could say it in this way, that yes, God was displeased. And God was saddened by this. And that's why he sent Samuel to go take care of King Saul. But yet, God still had a people. God still had a plan. God was still able to, well, we know the story. He brought about King David. But with King Saul, yes, it was disappointing. And the real story here is it didn't have to be that way. You know, that's the same with you and I. Not being critical here at all, but it's just human nature. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. I remember years ago, received a letter in the mail. And it was someone trying to, it was a particular, a very sensitive issue involved. And they were trying to, I guess you would say, promote their side of the story. And it was very interesting, just within the first few paragraphs of this letter, they used the letter I, talking about themselves, numerous times, 20 or 30 times, just in a short amount of time, trying to promote their cause, their thoughts, their ideas about the whole situation, and it was all about them. And if you analyze that type of, if you could say, writing or presentation of a subject matter, you would come to find that that person thought well of themselves. They thought they had, that their ideas were right, that they had it all together and no one else did. And, well, that was years ago. And now you could say, I guess, God has a way of revealing the secrets of the heart. With time, they portray what they're really made of, just like with King Saul. It was made known eventually what was in his heart, what was hiding in his heart. The devil had laid a trap, a snare. Because you see what happens is pride is a disease, as I mentioned earlier. And there's something about when someone, they get, well, someone said it this way, a man wrapped up in himself makes a pretty small package. It's as if when we start focusing on ourselves, you could say we shrivel up. Our soul shrivels up. There's no room for God. It's as if we start focusing, and I'm not saying here that as King David later talks about, search me, O God. He's talking about himself, but it's an open door to the Lord. Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me. But here with King Saul, it's, no, I think I have a better idea. What God told Samuel and what he told me to do was to kill all the Amalekites. He thought it was best. He started stepping back and thinking, no, I have a better idea. I have a better idea. I have a better plan. And I think I can do it this way, and it'll be okay. Because I'm still doing a lot of what the Lord told me to do. But again, he was focusing on himself. Instead of going to the Lord in his own prayer closet, yes, maybe he was told by Samuel what to do. And perhaps King Saul is saying, well, I'm king. Shouldn't I be the one calling the shots around here? But you know, if he would have went home and prayed about it, talked to the one who it really mattered, talked to the Lord about it, say, Lord, Samuel told me to do this. Is this really what you want me to do? And say, if it is, I'm willing to do it. But the proof is in the pudding here. King Saul obviously didn't do that. Instead, he walked away thinking, I'll show Samuel who's in control. He's not the one calling the shots. God put me in this position, so I get to decide what really needs to be done. And I can kind of weigh and balance out the situation here because God anointed me king. Well, pride. Well, the scriptures, we'll get to some more scriptures here. Pride cometh before destruction, before a fall. There's something about it when man gets lifted up within himself. Just look around us in America in general. You realize that what we're surrounded with in our society, we're the wealthiest nation ever on the face of the earth, and yet there's folks that have conducted these studies and say that at least 75% of our population is still discontent. Think about that. Why is that? Well, it's because we've become self-centered. It's all about me. It's all about myself. It's all about the big letter I. You know, that's what happens. Ultimately, that can bleed over into the spiritual aspect. It can bleed over into our spiritual lives. And we're thinking that, well, I figured this out. And by studying all these books and these writings and researching this and researching that and the experience I have and all these things, that I think I can figure this out on my own. I don't think I need anyone else to tell me what to do. Well, be careful. King Saul thought he figured out, had it figured out too. And it didn't end so well. In fact, let's read the rest of the story real quick. It said, the Lord anointed thee king over Israel, and the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and this evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag and the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, again trying to put the blame, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. That's a sad story. And here is the reality. Things didn't just stop right there. It wasn't as if Samuel, or God told Samuel, and Samuel told King Saul, that the kingdom's taken from you and boom, it's over with. You're kicked out. You're no longer a part of this kingdom. No, it was more of a sad, agonizing death. You realize that I believe that the Lord allowed it this way to prove a point. That if you continue full of self and full of pride, you're going to destroy more than just yourself. Do you realize through the pride that King Saul kept in his heart, he tantalized King David to begin with, God's new anointed king. Okay, he tantalized him and all of his men and pursued him and made everyone's lives miserable around that. But then ultimately, yes, King Saul lost his life in battle, but so did he lose his son Jonathan. And it did not have to be so. You realize God could have prevented that, I believe, if he would have humbled down right at this time when Samuel confronted him the first time, and if King Saul hadn't have said, no, it was the people. But if King Saul would have acknowledged his mistake and humbled down right there, I can't say God would have, but perhaps God would have forgave him and allowed him to keep the kingdom for a while. And perhaps allowed his son Jonathan to live. You know, I don't know, but perhaps. But the challenge is for you and I in our own individual lives, Lord, help us that God could spare us much agony in our own personal lives if we would acknowledge that, yes, maybe there is a failure there. Lord, help me to see myself as you see it. And, you know, the Lord is faithful. He's not going to show it to us all at once. It'll be step by step, here a little, there a little. But there's some more thoughts about pride. There's a few other scriptures I want to read. There's one. I mentioned the one, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But there's another one in Matthew 21 and verse 44. And this is something that, again, if King Saul would have taken heed, a lot of heartache could have been spared. But it says here in Matthew 21 and verse 44, it says, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You know, that's what happened to King Saul. If he would have fallen and broken himself and just humbled down right there before Samuel and before the Lord and said, I am so sorry. I am so full of myself here. I was full of all my own ideas, my own ambitions. And I had thoughts and dreams of what I was going to, things that I was going to do with this livestock and with this king, that I was going to take him back and make a trophy of him and all these things. I had all these plans, all these things laid out. But if he would have said, you know, that's really not smart. I think I better pay attention to what Samuel's saying here. And if he would have humbled down, broken himself right there, it would have kept him from being ground to powder later. Because that's ultimately what happened. Can you imagine? He got so desperate in his last days, right before this last battle he fought in, that he sought who? Did he seek the Lord? No, he sought a witch and asked her, what should I do? Bring up Samuel before me, because I want to, what should I do here? You know, that is a sad, sad state of mind. But again, he himself had turned himself over to the devil and his ways, and the Lord was grinding him to powder because he would not let go of himself. I bear in mind again, perhaps we have seen individuals, especially in our nation, some leaders have done this very thing. Got so high and mighty and thought that they were untouchable. But through time, God allowed them to be ground to powder. To where now there are some leaders that in their day they were famous, but now they're forgotten. You know, years later, they're forgotten. Oh, their name might be in a history book somewhere, but who were they really? Did they? But yet, here's the flip side. Here's the encouraging side of the story. There was another gentleman by the name of Saul in the New Testament that God met on the road to Damascus. And this gentleman, Saul, was converted to Paul. And he himself cast himself down on this stone and broke himself upon the Lord, so to speak, and acknowledged his faults, his failures, and said, Lord, have mercy on me. And to think that that man did not go down in obscurity, so to speak, but that God was able to raise up Saul as a new man, as Paul, and made something of his life to where he wrote most of the New Testament. He was not forgotten. God did not grind him to powder, but instead he lifted it. Let's see, there's a scripture. In fact, I have it here. Bear with me here. Well, I didn't write that one down. I'm sorry. But basically, you humble yourself before the Lord and you will be exalted. You know, God has a way of exalting you. It's not to a high and lifted up position to where everyone sees you. That's not what it's talking about. It's exalting you in victory. In victory over self. In victory over pride. And it says he will reward you openly. In other words, people will see and realize that that person used to not have victory over that, or victory over this, or victory over their self, but now they have the victory. And people acknowledge, even sinners will say, wow. That's what they did with Apostle Paul, when he was converted to a new man. And he came back to some of those cities where he had persecuted the church. And they're like, this is the same Saul that persecuted the church? And they're like, well, let's see what he's made of. Well, he proved himself by the grace of God that he was a new man. And God exalted him. Not in a high position where he was king over the folks. No, God was king. But yet he exalted him to where he had power over himself that he didn't have before. And that's what I was bringing here. The solution to pride is written here in James 4 and 6. It says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Here's another one. 1 Peter 5 and 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And you know, that's the key. To get down low before the Lord. To get down to where you're just an open book before the Lord. Say, Lord, you know me better than I know myself. And Lord, you see these areas in my life. Perhaps there's some things I don't see. Maybe others see it and I don't see it. Lord, would you show me? Lord, would you teach me? You know, that's an humble heart. That's willing to be taught. How many times do we remember, at least I do, in school, there was some students that were know-it-alls. In other words, they thought they knew more than the teacher. In fact, I remember one time in particular, there was this one student that thought he was so smart, he wasn't going to pay attention in class. He was just going to sit there and just doodle and draw little pictures and flip through the book. And you could just tell by his demeanor and by his actions that he was not enthused one bit. He already knew this stuff, and he was, you know, trying to talk and do other things and cause a commotion and stir. Well, it came a point to where the teacher was wise. The teacher had seen these type of students before. And so it wasn't long until the teacher got his attention and said, young man, would you like to teach the class? The young man declined because he realized, you know, maybe I don't know everything. And even if I think I know quite a bit, maybe I'm not capable of teaching. You see, there's something about it that when a person really thinks about it and really analyzes the proud countenance or the proud thoughts they have about themselves, and when they put it into perspective and realize that, number one, anything that they have is from the Lord, and number two, that there are other individuals that perhaps can do the job better than you. Or there are other individuals that perhaps know more than you do. And beyond that, we serve a God that does know everything. But we as humans, we don't know everything. But yet our culture, again, promotes the thought and the mindset that you can do anything. Well, that's true through the grace and strength of the Lord. And as long as it's according to His will. But yes, there are people that strive and they climb the ladders of success and they make something of themselves. I remember a story someone told about it was someone that had several degrees. He was a PhD, he had his doctorate, he had his bachelor's and a master's and all these degrees behind his name. And was very intelligent, very smart, and had several different jobs and positions and was seeking for more knowledge and more understanding and all these things. But yet, in his dying days, he still wasn't satisfied. He still hadn't found that satisfied his soul. He hadn't found the Lord. He hadn't found the solution to all the things he was... that's what he was searching. He was searching for... He didn't realize he was searching for the Lord, but he was looking in all the wrong places. He was looking in things that were man-made. That's all it amounted to. When the Lord has all the answers, all the solutions, everything we need, we can find in the Lord. But again, how do we find? I mentioned earlier the scripture, King David, "Search me, O Lord." But there is something about humbling yourself that, it's hard to pray that way. Lord, send me some lessons of humility. Because if you tried that before, the Lord probably sent some lessons of humility your way. And those things are not fun in the flesh. But I want to tell you something. The way to heaven is paved in humility. There's something about it that there's a danger zone there that I don't think us as humans that we can really fathom. And it starts out as little seed thoughts, just little things as in, I think I can handle this day on my own and not really take time to pray. You see, it just starts as little things like that. Or I'm faced with a situation and I don't ask the Lord for help. You think, I've been through this before. I can figure this out on my own. Just little things like that, that you're not putting yourself as, a king or a master over this situation. It's just a little thing and it's no big deal. I can figure this out. But the Lord, what's the scripture say? Pray without ceasing. If you could say it this way, prayer is the key to humility, because in prayer, you're bowing your heart. Sometimes you don't have time to bow the knee before the Lord, but you can bow in your heart before the Lord and say, something can be happening, and within seconds a situation arises and you don't know what to do, and all you have time to do is say, "Oh Lord, help." That's humility. That's us saying, "Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation. I've never been in this situation, or maybe I have been in this situation before, and I kind of messed things up. So Lord, would you help me? Oh Lord, would you please have mercy? Lord, would you intervene? Lord, would you, I need your grace." That's humility. When you're willing to pray at the drop of the hat, that is humility. That's acknowledging that God is Lord over my life. God is Lord over everyone's life that I've come in contact with everyone, of course, but especially those, my enemies perhaps, those that I would love to retaliate, that I would love to take in my own hands, just like King Saul, that no, I'm going to take this king home as a trophy, and I want to show the rest of the people how good a king I am. You realize we can do the same in our own hearts and lives, but the Lord would have us commit it to the Lord and say, "Lord, you know me. Lord, I need your help. Lord, this is something bigger than me." That's a solution. To come down with the realization. What's the scripture say? I believe Apostle Paul said it. He said, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And you realize Apostle Paul was an intelligent man. You realize Apostle Paul was of the elites, but yet he humbled himself down to be willing to be stoned multiple times, to be beaten, and yet never gave up on the Lord. And ultimately, he gave his life. beheaded just for the fact that he was standing by the Word. He was standing by his Lord and Savior. He was willing to humble himself down to the ultimate, if you could say, what the enemy thought was destruction, but was willing to give his life for what he believed in. That's true humility. That's true acknowledging who God is and who we are. You know, that's what Apostle Paul got a hold of. He realized he wasn't sufficient in himself, that it was going to take the Lord to give him the grace to endure. It was going to take the Lord to give him the grace to press on, to press toward that mark. And you and I, guess what? We have the same opportunity. We can all be Apostle Paul's in our day and age. No, we may not do the same works that he did, but we can have the same spirit. We can have the same determination. We can have the same perseverance through praying without ceasing. And that is a solution to defeating pride. You pray for me that I'd be faithful.